Radio Prague News.
The government has upheld its diesel fuel tax rebate program for a year longer than planned. Dozens of demonstrators from the Stop the Government platform gathered for a protest outside the Health Ministry on Monday, and representatives of the Central Bohemian region have elected Zuzana Moravčíková the new governor. The government has decided to uphold its diesel fuel tax rebate program for Czech farmers until the year 2014, Prime Minister Petr Nečas said on Monday. However, rebate conditions will become less lucrative for farmers starting next year, when agricultural workers will only be able to claim 40% of their diesel fuel expenses back, as opposed to the current rate of 60%. Originally, the government had planned to discontinue the program in 2013, farmers protested by slowing down traffic. About 50 protesters gathered for a happening outside the health ministry on Monday. Union members, patients and disabled demonstrators who joined the protest, which was organized by the Stop the Government platform, opposed the government's planned health care reforms. Among the steps they criticize is a new regulation under which patients can pay extra for a doctor of their choice. Health Minister Leoš Heger discussed the planned reform with the demonstrators in front of his ministry. The event is part of a series of blockades that will take place in front of five ministries in June in protest of the government's reforms and austerity measures. Representatives of the region of Central Bohemia on Monday elected Zuzana Moravčíková the new governor. She replaces former governor David Rath, who stepped down nearly 3 weeks ago after he was arrested and charged with corruption. Following her election, she said that she would like to involve the opposition in important decisions and grant them more influence in the decision-making process. However, the opposition parties did not support Mrs. Moravčíková and were pushing for the resignation of all regional councillors due to their connections with Mr. Rath's administration. According to a fresh survey by the Millward Brown Agency, students of Czech secondary schools believe that there are three main problems in the Czech Republic. The poll found that the majority of the 1,100 respondents believe the relationship between mainstream Czechs and Romanies is especially problematic. Unemployment and politics in general were also cited as factors that make life in this country more difficult. Commenting on the results, sociologist Ivan Gabal said that Czech secondary school students are even more rigid and prejudiced towards the Romani minority than most adults. And now let's take a brief look at the weather. Overcast skies with daytime highs of up to 20 degrees Celsius and scattered showers are expected to last until the middle of the week. My name is Sarah Borufka, and this brings us to the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. I'm Jan Richter. Coming up in today's show, some hospitals now officially allow patients to pay to be treated by the doctor of their choice. Then a disappointing football friendly of the Czech national team ahead of the upcoming Euro 2012 and other Czech sports news. And later, we have the second part of our interview with the leading Czech political commentator Jindřich Šídlo. All that and more coming up, so please stay with us. It's a revolution in Czech healthcare. As of this month, some Czech hospitals are enabling patients to be treated by the surgeon or specialist of their choice on condition that they are prepared to pay extra for his or her services. While the change has only legalized a practice that's been around for years, critics say it smacks of discrimination. Daniela Lazarová has the details.
It's a practice that's been around for years, people slipping envelopes with cash into doctors' pockets in an effort to ensure the best possible care for themselves or their loved ones. Those who could afford the best sought someone to introduce them to a renowned specialist, assuring them they would not remain in their debt and were ready to pay for above-standard care. At the initiative of doctors themselves, the health ministry has now moved to bring this practice out into the open, giving patients the right to select a physician of their choice for a given sum of money, between 5,000 and 15,000 crowns. Half of the money will go to the respective hospital or clinic, the other half to the specialist in question. Advocates of the change say that this will not only benefit the medical institutions by giving them more money to invest in the latest technology, but will also help them draw the best specialists in the field, who know that their skills will not go unrewarded in state hospitals. It would also motivate doctors to improve themselves. The country's most prominent heart surgeon, Jan Pirk, is one of those who pushed for the change.
I think it is perfectly natural that people should have the right to decide who will perform heart surgery on them. People pick their hairdresser. Why should they not have the right to pick their heart surgeon?
It is not only the country's leading surgeons who are in high demand, but also gynecologists and obstetricians. This young woman says she'd certainly make use of the chance to select her obstetrician.
Of course I would do it to get better care. It helps when you trust the doctor and know he's good. I would most certainly be willing to pay.
Others are less enthusiastic, fearing that the move will lead to a discrimination of patients who cannot afford to pay for above-standard care and will end up getting treated by less experienced or less capable physicians. The head of the Czech Patients Association, Luboš Olejar, says it's simply not right.
Of course, there are patients who will not be able to afford it. They pay health insurance, which should get them the best care available, especially in serious cases and emergencies. And now there's a risk they will not get it because the best surgeon for the job will be busy performing plastic surgery on a rich client.
Hospitals reject such claims, saying that all patients will be given the best possible care and that complicated cases will automatically go to the most experienced physicians anyway. Rich clients will not be able to jump queue, and specialists who are in high demand will have to spend additional time on paying patients. Jaroslav Weyreisel, head of the Podolí Clinic for Mother and Child, says it is the right decision because it will bring under control a practice that is already widespread.
This is a way of making the practice more transparent. People were paying to be treated by a specialist of their choice anyway, and this will legalize the process and make sure that part of the money goes to the respective institution, which will use it to provide better care.
The health ministry has left it to individual medical institutions to decide whether or not they want to make use of such an arrangement. Prague's Vinohrady Hospital is the first big state hospital to offer its clients the possibility. Others are biding their time and say they will wait and see how much interest there is on the part of patients.
Daniela Lazarová with that report. Coming up next, Jan Wellinger with the latest news from the world of Czech sports. And we begin first with football. The Czech national team has traveled to Poland, where it will begin final preparations for Euro 2012, which kicks off this week. The team will begin its tournament on Friday against Russia. Good news for the squad and Czech fans is that team captain Tomáš Rosický trained in cool weather on Monday morning for the first time since suffering injury. The midfielder had been out for 3 weeks. News website IDNES reported that he suffered no difficulties on the pitch, practicing with teammate Daniel Kolář. And here's what team doctor Petr Krejčí had to say.
He's beginning to train and it looks pretty good. We expect that he will be ready for Russia. We'll see how the training goes, but I think there is a 95% chance things will go well.
As far as the national squad goes, the Czechs will be hoping to rebound from a loss last Friday when the team minus Rosický lost to Hungary at Letná Stadium in Prague. In that game, Hungary opened the scoring just after 6 minutes on a quick free kick that caught Czech and the defenders off guard. The hosts, who created a number of chances, equalized with a Michal Kudlec penalty midway through the first half. But Hungary struck again late in the game when Adam Gyurcsó scored. In hockey, Stanley Cup finalists the LA Kings won the first two games in their matchup against the New Jersey Devils, lessening the chance the Cup will travel to the Czech Republic this year. The Kings, unlike their opponents, have no Czechs on the roster. In Game 1, New Jersey's Patrik Eliáš earned one assist. In Game 2, Marek Židlický. Eliáš had opportunities in Game 2, at one point moving up with a four-man rush, but was unable to score. The Kings won both games in overtime with a score of 2-1. The third match takes place at the LA Kings Staples Center. The Kings are the first team in history to go 10-0 on the road in the Stanley Cup playoffs. In tennis, Petra Kvitová and fellow Czech player Klára Zakopalová have both made it to the fourth round at the French Open. Zakopalová advanced in straight sets over Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova 6-3, 7-5. Kvitová lost her first set at Roland Garros but survived for a 6-2, 4-6, 6-1 victory over Nina Brachikova. In the men's singles, Czech tennis player Tomáš Berdych survived a tough five-setter on Friday against South Africa's Kurt Anderson at Roland Garros, but faces another uphill battle now in a round-four match that was suspended until Monday, the result of which will be known only after the taping of this program. Berdych is down 2-1 against Del Potro and will have to win in five again if he wants to reach the quarterfinals. That's all the sport for today.
Thank you, Jan Wellinger, for that. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Next up, the second part of Sara Borůvka's interview with Jindřich Šídlo, a leading Czech political commentator and a columnist for the daily Hospodářské noviny.
In last week's one-on-one, we brought you the first part of this two-part interview with Jindřich Šídlo, a political analyst and commentator who currently writes for the daily Hospodářské noviny. Given that he has been covering Czech politics for some 20 years, we spoke to him about the latest corruption cases, the future of politics in this country, and if he ever gets tired covering the Czech political scene.
Sure, because... I've been at the business for 20 years, so sometimes sure I steal myself, but we are just writing, we are just commenting, we are just covering stories, and sometimes we can help something, but we are not police, you know. And I feel that people and society. And the society is or lives in a strange feeling of dissolution, the dissolution of the situation. But the question is, well, we know much more about the situation than 10 years ago. Media brought plenty of stories about corruption, about suspicious cases, and so on. And we described a lot of things before. And nothing happened. Now some things started to happen, and people feel angry because they know more than before, which is interesting. And maybe it's necessary. Maybe it's necessary. So I think that both topics you were talking about, racism and corruption, are the most important topics in the Czech society. I totally agree with you. And I feel tired a little because I wrote a lot about racism and about corruption. And I feel that I simply cannot do more. I'm just a journalist. I'm not police. I'm not a prosecutor. I'm not a judge. I'm not a politician. I'm just writing stories. No.
Of course. And of course, the scandal surrounding former Prague Mayor Pavel Bem got attention internationally. It was a huge story. You also commented on it as it was breaking, as new things were coming to light. Were you surprised at all? Because this relationship between him and Mr. Janoušek was a known thing for a long time. But when these recordings became public, did that surprise you?
No, not at all. Not at all. Well, sure, it was quite funny, you know. but we wrote a lot of stories. in past years about the situation and about Mayor Bem and his company here at Prague City Hall. So we wrote a lot about open card, about about situation in public transport, about this fantastic Wi-Fi project here in Prague. So I was not surprised. Sure, I was surprised a little by the way they were talking to each other. We got experience with this kind of recordings from Czech football. It's like 70 years ago. There was a theater play written by it. So I was not surprised. But when you hear it, you're laughing. But at the same time, you feel, oh shit, what's going on? We were living in this city. Pavel Bem was once the most popular Czech politician. He gained like 54% in Prague in 2006, and this was the way he behaved with this confidence of people, and that's the most important point. He damaged the confidence of people, and I was not surprised, but today I'm just not able to laugh because it's too serious, and these recordings prove how sure they were, and that they have no barriers, and they didn't feel anything like just a little scare, that they were doing something wrong, something maybe illegal. They just felt they cannot be attacked by anyone.
And you already mentioned the concept of public trust, and of course that the Czech public right now, polls are showing it, demonstrations that are being held that weren't being held before are showing it. So the public is really fed up also after public affairs, which promoted itself as an anti-corruption party and then turned out to be very corrupt. Do you think that the level of dissatisfaction in Czech society is also maybe heralds a new era, that something will actually change this time?
I think that something has started to change. Well, I agree. I'm not sure that we are at the beginning of a new political era. Maybe the new political era started 2 years ago when these old two historical traditional parties, Social Democrats and Civil Democrats, lost hundreds of thousands of their voters. And people were very angry and disillusioned even during the municipal election in 2010. Which, in my view, were much more important than the House elections 2 years ago, and people decided to act. People decided to vote some politicians out, and the important thing is going to be how they will evaluate if they succeed, if it helped themselves, and I'm not sure. I don't think that Czechs. I know Czechs, you know. So I don't feel that they will come to streets and ask for the revolution. Czechs are different, but I don't know how many people will just come to vote next time, which is in my view maybe more dangerous than they will vote for some experiments or unknown parties like they did 2 years ago with Civefina, which I simply don't understand how anyone could vote for them because many informations about them were just available. We wrote a lot about them, but people were so fed up with these old two parties and all the atmosphere and the spirit of Czech politics between 2006 and 2010 that they just wanted to vote. Maybe things they don't know anything about, but it seemed to be different. Which, and I don't know what people like this will do in 2014, next elections. I'm not sure, but I really don't know.
The latest corruption case involves a central Bohemian governor by the name of David Rath, who was himself a vocal opponent of corruption and also EU funds. Do you think this is potentially more harmful because it involves not just our own finances, but also money from the EU and thus takes it to this sort of international level?
Well, first, I think that we are all surprised that just such an experienced and clever and intelligent politicians like David Rath, because he is one, in my opinion, he's one of the most talented Czech politicians. The other way is how he behaves and so on. But that he can be caught just in the act, just with money in the box, which I don't understand it. It just brought me back to the 90s. It was like 1994, you know, money in the box. And I'm not sure that he's so-called big fish, the first big fish caught this way. I'm not sure that if it's going to help the atmosphere and because I think that there are many people, mainly the opposition voters or people who voted for opposition parties, who just will believe that that's not just a good job done by police and prosecutors, but that this is a part of political fight, which is for me maybe more dangerous than the fact that there are many people here just walking around Prague who probably would deserve the same fate like David Rath. But because it seems to me that just confidence into the state of law and into police has been missing here in the Czech Republic. And I'm not sure that this case of David Rath can help to prove it. I'm not sure, but sure, congratulations to police. It seems that they really did a very good job.
And you said after you read an interview with Pavel Bem regarding the allegations against him that you felt physically ill,
yes,
that you couldn't finish reading it.
I couldn't believe it.
You have been commenting for so long. How do you keep from being jaded and cynical, and how are you able to still be able to be physically ill?
Because, you know, I try not to make politics and things like that the whole my life. I've got other interests and hobbies, and I've got my own personal life, which is quite happy, thankfully. So I really don't think about Pavel Bem and David Rath every minute of my life, and it's probably the only way how to stay mentally healthy.
Political commentator Jindřich Šídlo was Sara Borůvka's guest in that edition of One on One. We now round up our regular weekday program with our popular miniseries ABC of Czech by Pavla Horáková.
Welcome to the ABC of Czech, where this season we are discussing vocabulary related to Czech food and cuisine. Today I'm joined by
Jan Wellinger,
and we take a look at one of the most essential parts of every national cuisine, bread and baked goods.
Chleb a pečivo.
Almost every nation in the world has its own special type of bread. In this part of Europe, the most typical variety is dark bread that comes in large round or oval loaves,
bochník,
seasoned with caraway seeds. Czech bread has a dark brown crust,
kurka,
which is either glazed or dusted with flour. Czech bread is most typically eaten sliced, spread with butter, cheese or lard, or with ham or salami as a sandwich. Slices of bread can also be fried in oil till golden brown. Then they are called
topinky.
With fresh garlic rubbed in, they are a real delicacy, but you can imagine how heavy they are. If the same dark bread dough is used to make smaller shapes, rolls and buns, they are called
Dalamánky.
White bread rolls are called
rohlíky.
They are the shape of a banana, but straight. And white bread buns are called
housky.
They come in many varieties. They can be just plain or sprinkled with poppy seeds or crystal salt. As far as shapes are concerned, a bun can be plated, then it's called
pletínka.
If a star shape is pressed onto the bun, then it's called
hvězdička,
a little star, or
kaiserka,
from the German word for emperor. Another traditional type of white bread is
veka,
which is also another word for loaf. It is used almost exclusively to make the typical Czech open-faced sandwiches.
Chlebíčky.
Yes, little breads, with ham, eggs, mayonnaise, salmon, and what you like, that are usually served at such events, at exhibition openings and office parties. In the last 15 years, many Czechs have changed their habits as concerns bread and baked goods, as many foreign varieties of bread have been introduced onto the Czech market. Now you can buy French bread,
bagueta,
toast bread,
toastový chleb,
bagels,
bagely,
and all kinds of whole grain products.
Celozrné pečivo.
But dark bread,
chleb,
and bread rolls,
rohlíky,
continue to be a staple in the Czech diet. And that's all for today. Till next time.
Dobrou chuť.
Bon appétit.
That edition of ABC of Czech by Pavla Horáková was the final part of our English language program for today. We, as always, love to hear from you, so if you have any comments or questions, do get in touch. You can write us a letter to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2, the Czech Republic, or send an email to english@radio.cz. But for now, from myself, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.